possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This statue represents to me 80s and 90s baseball. At Wrigley Field, on WGN, 162 games, in the sunshine, and on my toes, prepared for every play in the game. It's also kind of funny because when I arrived here, I didn't have a position. I had more gloves in my locker than bats with my name on it, which was actually zero. I had zero bats, but I had my three gloves I brought from the minor leagues. But I had a center fielder glove, a third base glove, shortstop, and second baseman's glove. I did not have a catcher's mitt, though. Very smart on my part.
All right, that's the statue ceremony with Ryan Sandberg. And again, the passing of Ryan Sandberg, and welcome. We're on the air until midnight. This is Chuck Swirsky at 312-644-6767. Post-game coverage tonight after the Cubs lost to Milwaukee. At Milwaukee, reporters then went to the manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell.
No, I just addressed the team and told them the news that of Rhino's passing. And, you know, we're saddened of the loss of a great man. You know, we were lucky as a group this year to have Rhino in spring training. And it was an honor to be around, you know, a man, you know, battling for his life, but wanting to come to the baseball park and spend his day with us. And I know it meant a lot to everybody in there. And, you know, we're grateful that he was, you know, willing to spend that time with us when things weren't going great for him. So it's a sad day for the Chicago Cubs. And he was a great Cub. And you know, I'm grateful that we got a chance to get to know him this spring.
Craig, you spoke about kind of just that presence that he had when he walked in a room. What was that like when he was?
Yeah, you know, what's so cool is that I think, you know, what we do for a living is about, like, competing and beating people. But his presence was almost due to kindness. And that's such a rare. And he was probably living in a higher level than the rest of us. And, you know, I think that's what he was known for. That's what made him special. And that's why people like that make you better. They make you better people.
Last year when he had the statue ceremony, you guys all came out and watched it.
Yeah, I know it was a special moment for the guys to be able to do that, and I think you get a sense of his place as a Cub and his place in baseball. That was an inspiring moment just to be there and for the people gathered there to honor Rhino. I won't forget that for sure.
And you were big in wanting the guys to go out and experience to see what he meant to Chicago. Just what did you take away from that experience to see firsthand just the meaning?
Well, I think those are the moments that kind of connect you, and as like generationally as baseball players, and then they connect you to a city, and you get an understanding of the impact that you can have on people if you live your life in a positive manner, and I think, you know, that's a day where you learn something about it, and I know it taught our guys that.
Those guys are obviously too young to have seen him play, but you get to watch him play. What do you remember about watching him as a kid?
Well, I mean, he was kind of just really good at everything, and he was fast, he was a great defender, loved triples. He's talked about getting triples in Wrigley, and we still this day, I mean, like, there's once a week we'll talk about how did he hit 14 triples in Wrigley. You know, literally, like, once a week Ryan Flaherty and I will talk about that. But he loved the game, and he played it in a way that you know, it was fun for me to watch. Him and Sean Dunstan, watching those two play them as a midfielder growing up, watching those two play middle infield was always a thrill.
Greg, back in spring training, Rhino looked pretty good. You think it just the environment and being around him?
I know, talking to Rick Sutcliffe about that a lot, I know he was doing everything he could to be there, and I think he did feel better when he was there, but I don't think it was easy for him to be there. But I think it's one of those, you know, it's an environment that made him feel better, and it makes you feel good that you can provide that. It really does. He's been battling difficult cancer for a long time, and I don't think we expected to necessarily see him in, you know, December, January. And when we got the news that he was going to come and be around, it was great news. But you know, it's a hard fight and it's a tough fight, and it's a sad day.
All right, that's the manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell, talking about the passing of Ryne Sandberg. Here's Nico Horner.
First of all, just thinking of him and everything that he meant to the Cubs organization and obviously his family. I think he's kind of the blueprint for what it means to be an amazing Cub. I think as far as the way he carried himself, obviously through his career and everything he achieved, but just how selfless he was in his time with us, too. It was never about him, ever. It was just truly love the game of baseball, and I think that was particularly clear this spring and all the effort that he made to be there throughout, even more than I'm sure what we can even imagine, the treatment and everything else. And there was nothing he wanted more than to be on a baseball field and to share that time and be present with that. So we're all incredibly lucky that he was a part of our season this year, and he means a lot.
On that, you talked about the gloves that he brought to spring because he knew that you were interested. What did those interactions mean for you?
Yeah, it just that he was thoughtful, and he has achieved so much in this game, but was never above like the small things that makes it such a special sport and the connections that the game brings. And he just, more than anything, just wanted to talk about baseball and things that we were doing that were different than what they did then, and things that he saw, and never came from it with an angle of him having everything figured out. He just wanted to be on the field and talk about the sport that he loved and that loved him, honestly, yeah.
Was it like last year being at his statue ceremony and seeing, you know, all the fans and your team being there too?
Yeah, obviously really glad that that was done so well and at a time when he could celebrate it. It was a beautiful ceremony. It's a great statue, obviously. I'm sure there'll be more ways that we honor him as we continue to move forward, but yeah, it was a really beautiful ceremony.
We've talked about how he kind of did a little bit of everything well. Just when you look at kind of the numbers he put up and the type of player he was, just kind of how incredible was it to kind of see the numbers he did?
He kind of redefined the position a little bit as far as what's possible. Having an impact bat at second base while also winning 9 gold gloves, 10 gold gloves, and hitting 19 triples in one season, which is kind of unfathomable. Just an all-around dynamic player and person as well, and you know, his love for the game was just so obvious. And I think if there's any one thing for us as a group to take away from him this year is just like how he never took just being at the field around people, a part of a group, for granted for his whole life, it seemed like.
All right, that is Nico Horner on the passing of Ryan Sandberg. Let's go back to the phone lines at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And let's go to, how about Mike from Lombard? Mike, you're on 670 The Score. Welcome to our post-Cubs pregame and postgame coverage. We started hours ago taking a look at what's going on with the Cubs and Brewers, and here we are finishing up. Not talking about a baseball game that's really secondary at this point as we reflect on the life of Ryan Sandberg. Go ahead.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me on. I love your show. I followed your career. I love you all the way.
Thank you.
So about 20 years ago, I mean, I'm 55, so I grew up watching Rhino. But about 20 years ago, I had the luck of sitting eight rows directly behind home plate at a Cub game. And in about the fifth or sixth inning, the usher comes up and asks if we would like to move down to the second row because they had a VIP that wanted to move back into the shade. And I said, hell yeah, I'll take the second row. So we switched, and in the aisle, as we're switching, I realized the VIP was Rhino.
Hmm.
And he just looked at me and he said, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And shook my hand. I restrained myself from gushing and just said, you know, thank you for all the memories. And we went to our seats. And about 10 minutes later, a round of beer got delivered to our seats. Compliments of one of Chicago's greats.
Really? Now that is a great story.
Right? It is. I mean, the whole way home, all I could think was, Ryan Sandberg bought me a beer. I should have been buying him a beer.
Yeah.
He bought me a beer.
Speaking of, I'll say this, and I can't speak for Harry Carey, nor do I want to. I think Harry loved that 84 team as much as any ball club he probably ever called, including those Cardinal teams with Stan Musial and then Lou Brock and Bob Gibson and on and on and on. But I'll say this, Harry loved Ryan Sandberg, and he loved Sutcliffe, and he loved Jody Davis, but I'm telling you, he loved Rhino. And all you had to do is watch games or listen to games, and he'd tell you that. So
he was Rhino was a class act, and I mean, I was 10 years younger than Rhino, so like when I was in grade school, I would race home to see the seventh, eighth, ninth inning of the Cub game.
Yep,
because they were still playing day games.
Well, it's just great to hear so many fans from so many areas of the United States listening to our broadcast tonight, post Cubs, and everyone has a Sandberg story, and you'll never get the same story from people. Whether it's Ryan Sandberg buying you a beer or meeting Sandberg, you know, at a grocery store, and he asked the fan, "Hey, do you want to get a picture?" I mean, it's unbelievable. So thank you, Mike. Let's go to Ben from Iowa City. Ben, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me. By the way, you're doing awesome. Just a really quick story of, well, hopefully quick. I grew up in a really small town in Iowa, and when we were little shavers, we just watched WGN every day. And all we wanted to be, all of us, would play wiffle ball and wanted to be Ryan Sandberg. That's mm-hmm. all we wanted to be. And I got to be older and moved to Chicago, lived in Belmont and Palina for many years, and eventually got to go out to a World Series game out in New York City and met some guys. And I'm like, you know, I live in Chicago. I'm a Cubs fan. And they're like, oh, my God. They're like, I heard these stories. They would tell me. We used to wake up, they're my age, I'm 52. They're like, we would wake up when we were kids, play wiffle ball in New Jersey or Connecticut or wherever they lived, and they would wake up and bow down to Wrigley Field and say a mini prayer to Ryan Sandberg. They just thought Ryan Sandberg was the bomb.
Yep.
They just thought he was the guy.
Well, what he symbolized was more than just a ball player. I mean, you know, the way he conducted himself and just he went and just did his job day after day after day at such a high level. You know, I mean, think about that period of time in Chicago sports. Let's go back to 84. 84, Jordan is drafted by the Bulls, jersey number 23. Sandberg is already just entering the window of greatness in 84, his MVP year, wearing 23. The Bears were on the verge in 84. As you know, they made the playoffs that year. They lost to San Francisco in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, and then the 85 Bears speaks for itself. And so during that whole period of time, there are so many things going on. The White Sox had won the division in 83, should have beaten Baltimore for the American League pennant that year in 83. But Ryne Sandberg really was the face of that franchise. And I mean, every good thing that came through the Cubs and through Wrigley Field, and it was all about Sandberg. And he would never admit that, but he was the face of the Chicago Cubs, period.
He didn't want to admit it, but he was a face of baseball that, like, East Coasters, West Coasters understood. Like, it was beautiful.
Yes.
And I didn't know it at the time because I was pretty young. But awesome conversations with so many baseball fans that got him.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. And that's why this program is here. Mitch Rosen has put us on the air tonight until midnight. It's 11:18. And again, more coverage tomorrow, Mully and Haw, and throughout the day right here on 670 The Score. And again, for those of you who said, hey, what happened to the Cubs tonight against the Brewers? All that stuff can wait. They'll talk more about that game and about the trade deadline and who's getting moved or not moved. All that stuff can wait. I really don't care about that stuff, to be honest with you, tonight. I want to celebrate the life of Ryne Sandberg, period. Let's go to Neil from Roscoe Village. Neil, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck. I love you guys. Love The Score. It was a funny coincidence. I was in Nolan, Peoria this last weekend visiting my cousin who has cancer, and her husband's a priest. And they used to go to Peoria, the Cubs Peoria Chiefs games. And one day my cousin's daughter's standing in the stands waiting for Sandberg's autograph because when he was the manager, and his Sharpie ran out of ink, and so they asked, does anybody have a Sharpie? And my cousin's husband goes, hey, my daughter does. So she gave him the Sharpie, and Sandberg signed everybody's autograph, and the last autograph she signed was hers, and to this day she can't find that baseball. And I'm sure after knowing this, she's looked everywhere for that baseball.
Yeah. Well, I hope she finds it because that's a keeper, you know, especially for sentimental reasons, obviously, to have a baseball signed by Ryne Sandberg. Thank you very much for the call. Greg, you're on 670 The Score. And again, we have plenty of lines. If you want to hop on and talk about Sandberg at 11:20, we're on the air for another 40 minutes. We're also going to hear some clips from Sandberg's Hall of Fame speech that's coming up in a few minutes. 312-644-6767. And welcome, Greg. What's happening?
Hey, Chuck. I just wanted to say that I'm a lifelong Sox fan. And, you know, the loss of Ryne Sandberg was just as devastating to the Sox fans as the baseball world and Cubs fans. We have always been envious of each other's players at times, and there's nobody that emulated the game any better than Ryne Sandberg, and I was never more jealous of a player that the Cubs had than Ryne. That's it. Thanks for taking my call. I just thought that it would be important to reach out at this moment.
No, I'm glad you did. Very well spoken. Thank you, sir. 312-644-6767. So Sandberg goes into the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people are saying, and they would interview Rhino before the speech, what are you going to say? How are you going to frame this? And a lot of people are saying, all right, Ryan, this is, you know, like all the cameras are on you. I mean, this is your moment in Major League Baseball. Let's pick it up, some of his speech.
What a beautiful day this is. I stand here today before you humbled and a grateful baseball player. And as I look behind me here at the greatest players in the history of the game, I am in awe. I know that if I had ever allowed myself to think this was possible, if I had ever taken one day in pro ball for granted, I'm sure I would not be here today. I don't have the words to describe Cub fans. Who welcomed me as a rookie, were patient through my 1-for-32 start, and took me into their homes and into their hearts, and treated me like a member of their family. You picked me up when I was down. You lifted me to heights that I didn't know I could reach. You expected a certain level of play from me, and you made me play at that level for a long time. You were probably wondering what was the first when I said this honor is the second best thing that's ever happened to me. My wife, Margaret, is the best thing that's ever happened to me. She is my best friend. She is the love of my life. She is my salvation. She's my past, my present, my future. She is my sun, my moon, my stars. She is everything that's good about life, and I thank her for entering my life at a time when I needed her most. I love you.
And that's a portion of the Hall of Fame speech by Ryan Sandberg. I don't think there was any doubt about it that he was going to be a member of the Hall of Fame, the greatest second baseman in the history of sports. Again, you know, just a class act. We're going to hear from Bob Costas in a moment. He conducted an interview with Marquee Sports. We're going to bring that to you, but we want to return to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. Ed from Wonder Lake, you're on The Score. Good evening, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me. I just want to say God bless Rhino, because he provided me and my mother one of the greatest memories of all time. One day, my mom just said, hey, let's go to a Cubs game, and she's never been to a baseball game ever, so I was surprised. My father is a famous musician. He's always on the road. So we went out, and it was 1984, and it happened to be that St. Louis game, and by the second inning, we were down 7-1. And we were surrounded by St. Louis fans who were just making fun of us. And a couple of them were hitting on my mom. And I said, Mom, pay attention to the game. We're coming back. We're going to win. And then in the ninth, Sandberg hits that homer against Suter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back and he does it again. My mother is surviving from a brain aneurysm. She had a brain aneurysm 4 years ago. And every time I go visit her, you know, she lacks memory. And we always talk about that game where she just decided to take me to that game and she remembers it. It's just like incredible. It's like a spiritual thing. And it's like Rhino, like, he like brought all Cubdom back together where there was always hope. No matter how dismal everything was, there was always a chance that the Cubbies were going to come back and we can do it. And then we did it in 2016.
Yep, and it was a great run by the Cubs that year. But again, you know, you talk about the 84 season, and I thank you. There were so many wonderful summer memories of that ball club. And again, Sandberg was the catalyst with an MVP-type season. And I don't think we will ever, ever forget the Sandberg game June 23rd. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from Bob Costas in a moment. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're on the air until midnight. And again, tomorrow, Mully and Haw, plenty on Ryan Sandberg, plenty on what's going on with the Cubs and Brewers series, plenty what's going on with the trade deadline just around the corner. You're listening to 670 The Score. This Chuck Swerve.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Persky.
It's an awesome day. You know what? Thank you, Bob. When I first learned about this incredible honor 18 months ago, I thought quite a bit about what I would say.
about the magnitude of this day, about this franchise, and about the amazing 1984 season, and about a magical day in June some 40 years ago. By the way, you're welcome, Bob, for those highlights the Cub fans watch every year and they've heard so many times.
Yeah, that's Ron Sandberg and his unveiling of a statue last year at Wrigley Field. He's referring to Bob Costas, who joined the Marquee Sports Network following tonight's game to reflect on the life and legacy of Ron Sandberg.
Legendary broadcaster and the man who called the Ron Sandberg game June 23rd, 1984, the one and only Bob Costas. Bob, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us here on the show. What was your initial thought when you heard the news of the passing of the one and only Ron Sandberg?
Well, Cole, I knew it was coming, as most people who follow the Cubs did. I knew it was an any day now situation, but it's still heartbreaking. The fact that it doesn't come as a surprise, that it isn't a shock, doesn't lessen the heartbreak. He was only 65 years old, and until his cancer hit, and even a year ago when you and I were present at the unveiling of his statue, and he looked great, felt great. Mm-hmm. The cancer was in remission until only a couple months later it came back. At that point, you're looking at a 64-year-old man. Oh, there's some video of it with his wife, Margaret, and the big crowd outside Wrigley Field. And that scene right there, which meant as much to me that day as anything else you could have mentioned, that all the ballplayers, I guess Craig Counsell led them out, all the ballplayers in uniform, showing the generational connections that are almost unique to baseball, and the respect shown for one of the great players in the franchise's history. That was such a perfect day in every way. And we had reason to believe that Ryan had many, many good years ahead with his family, with his grandchildren, you know, and then it came back, and it's terribly sad. You know, it's a cliche when you say that, yes, someone was great at what they did, but they were also a wonderful person. And sometimes that's only partially true. Ryan Sandberg was a heck of a good guy. Mm-hmm. And it's just heartbreaking that his life should be cut short this way.
Absolutely. And Bob, as the keynote speaker at his statue dedication and the man who was on the call for the Ryan Sandberg game, mm-hmm. what does it mean to you to be forever attached to Rhino?
Well, I was a bit player that day. Tony Kubek and I were calling the game. I think it's important to remember, and perhaps people have heard me say this before, but you had to appreciate the different circumstances 41 years ago and in the decades preceding. The game of the week really was, for much of the country, the game of the week. If you lived in a non-big league city, that was probably the only game you had a chance to see. And the Cubs were an exception because they televised all their games on WGN. But in most of the country, New York perhaps excluded, in most of the country, 80 to 90% of the games were on radio only. Most teams might have televised 30 or so road games. That was it. So the Saturday afternoon game for much of the country, that's when you had a chance to see Fernando Valenzuela face Johnny Bench. Or on that Saturday, on a perfect, beautiful day at Wrigley Field, to see those old rivals, the Cardinals and the Cubs, go at it. Now, have there been other games since then that had all the elements, at least statistically, that game had? Yeah. But not all the surrounding elements of Cardinals-Cubs, of much of the nation watching. That game got a higher rating. I guess this is the first of the two home runs, the one that tied it in the ninth, and then he tied it again with two out and Bob Dodier on base, again off Bruce Sutter, which shows you what a different era it was. Whitey Herzog had Bruce Sutter in the game for three-plus innings. And Bruce wasn't that demonstrative on the mound, but he was so disgusted with himself. There he is. Look at the way he snatches the ball back. Just utterly disgusted. But all the elements were in place. That game got a higher rating, as did many Saturday games of the week, than some postseason games get today. And it was the signature game of what turned out to be a Hall of Fame career. It marked him as a candidate, maybe the front runner for the MVP award, which he did win. And it marked the Cubs to a national audience as an actual contender. They were transformed from the lovable losers they long had been to a contender, and a team that came within one heartbreaking loss of going all the way mm-hmm. to the World Series. So you had all these elements combined, and it was something which, even though I was a bit player, it connected me and Ryan Sandberg for more than 40 years. That's why Ryan invited me to come back last June 23rd of 2024 to be part of that ceremony, which you were also part of, Cole, because every time I crossed paths with him, he would mention it before I would, but I knew it was coming. He'd talk about June 23rd, 1984. And, you know, there aren't many games, especially regular season games, that have a name. The George Brett Pine Tar game and the Sandberg game. And all around the country, baseball fans, not just in Chicago, at least if you're a fan of a certain age, when you say the Sandberg game, yeah, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Bob, 10-time All-Star, 9-time Gold Glover, for all the youngsters who never got a chance to see Ryan Sandberg or haven't gone down that rabbit hole on YouTube, paint a picture for us. What kind of player was he?
He was a complete player. He was an elegant player. I wouldn't call him a spectacular player, but he did everything the right way. He was fundamentally sound. He always seemed to be properly positioned. He was very, very sure-handed, had long consecutive game streaks, errorless streaks, won 9 consecutive Gold Gloves, 10-time All-Star. He wasn't an overwhelming power hitter, but he had one season where he hit 40 home runs. His MVP season, he hit only 19, 2 of them that day against the Cardinals, but he also had 19 triples, which led the National League. So a guy hits 19 homers, hits 19 triples, wins a Gold Glove, can steal bases, bats over 300. That's a complete ball player. And you put enough of those seasons together, and you're in Cooperstown. And until his health failed him, Ryan was always, he always came back. Every July, he came back to Cooperstown.
And despite knowing that Rhino was always going to bring up that Sandberg game, Bob, is there one moment that maybe really just lives in infamy with you that you'll always remember about Ryan Sandberg?
Well, you never get tired of it. If you're lucky enough to be in some small way connected to a game that is an historic game, and it really forged a friendship. Ryan and I were in touch on a regular basis, and while I wasn't speaking with him, I was speaking with people close to him over the past week and knowing that his passing was imminent. I guess it's probably the second of the two home runs, the one in the bottom of the 10th. That's when the game went from exciting to close to unbelievable that it would play out the way it did. And then eventually, it's the last guy on the Cub bench, Davey Owen, the last guy that Jim Fry had available, who lines a single over the drawn-in infield to win the game in the 11th inning for the Cubs, 12-11.
Bob, if you could share with us, you said that you remained in contact with Rhino throughout the years. What was your last conversation with him like?
It was in and around that event, the unveiling of the statue, and we reminisced a bit. There were some texts between us when I checked in on how he was feeling. And then the last couple of texts went unanswered. And so I knew that it must have taken a turn for the worse. And I spoke with people close to him, including in the last 48 hours. So I knew that, as many other people I'm sure did, that the moment was close at hand. There have been at least 2 and maybe 3 documentaries about that game, about the Sandberg game. Think about that. It seems almost crazy that that would be the case. And in one of them, it opened with Rhino sitting with his grandchildren on his lap, and they're watching the video of that game. And he's explaining to these little kids, no, that's Davey Owen, and that's Bobby Dernier. Is he your teammate, says a little 5-year-old. Yeah, he's, did you like him, says the little boy or girl. And just the connection, the generational connection, and him reveling in his family. And he never played the hero. He never big-timed anybody. He had that boy next door, all-American boy quality, but he was proud of his career. And, you know, sports is something that you can be a kid and you can understand it at some level. So he could share it with his children and with his grandchildren. And I think that, you know, and Bruce can talk about this, and I'm sure that Elise has her thoughts as well. The generational connections forged by baseball, it's true in all sports, but it's true to a greater extent in baseball than any other sport. There's an element there that connects generations and connects those of us who intersected around an event like the Sandberg game and around his career, because, you know, I was around for a good portion of it, lucky enough to be around for a good portion of it when those games were on NBC.
All right, that's Bob Costas on Marquee tonight following the ball game. And again, with Ryan Sandberg passing away, a lot of memories. And again, Sandberg, that Sandberg game televised on NBC, but on radio, it was Harry Carey, it was Milo Hamilton, it was Vince Lloyd, it was Lou Boudreau. I mean, that is a star-studded booth. And you had Donnie Albert spinning the dials, our engineer. I was doing pre and post, and it was a marvelous, marvelous day. And as I mentioned, Harry did the first three, the last three, and then he did the extra innings, all of them. And it was vintage Harry Carey on the call. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's make sure that we still have some folks holding. And we're going to start with Kathleen, Mark, rather, from Galena. Mark, how are you doing?
Very well. I'm with Eagle Ridge Resort and Spa, and Rhino came up here to golf for the weekend at our general golf course. And they called me from the front desk, and they said, "Do you know Ryan Sandberg?" I go, "My God, everybody knows him." "Well, he just checked in the hotel." So I go running up there, and of course, he's gone. He checked in, but they said he's golfing tomorrow at the general. So I get there about 7 o'clock, and he walks in about 9:30 with his wife. I go, "Mr. Sandberg, welcome to Eagle Ridge, and if I can be of any service, you know, et cetera." And just then it starts raining, and I mean pouring. And he said, I said to him, "If you get rained out, would you consider coming to my house and looking at my man cave, which is solid four-wall Cub memorabilia?" And he said, "Sure." So I get home about 10 minutes later, and the phone rings, and it's him. And I'm on the speakerphone with my wife, who's still in her pajamas. And he goes, "Mark, Ryan, I'd like to see your Cub stuff." And my wife freaks out. She goes, Oh my God, Ryan, can we have 10 minutes? So him and his wife come over to my house, and I show him my Cub memorabilia. She announces, "You got 30 minutes. So I took all 30 minutes. But listen to this. 2 weeks later, I get a jersey from him to my friend Mark and Kathy. "Best of luck at Eagle Ridge," from number 23 Hall of Fame Ryan Sandberg. And that is hung on my wall in my...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A man cave with all kinds of pride, and that's my number one thing. But he sent me that jersey without me asking. I was so blown away, and every employee of Eagle Ridge gets so tired of me telling the story. But that's my Ryan Sandberg story. He came to my home, but he sent me a jersey. How kind and thoughtful and considerate to sign it.
That's an amazing, amazing story. Think about that. He comes over with his wife, Margaret. He comes over to your house.
House. We live right down the street from the general golf course, and it was pouring rain. And I said, "Thank you so much." But to get that, now understand that next week is my wife's fifth, and my wife and me, our 55th anniversary. And we went to Wrigley Field for our honeymoon. So that's what kind of Cub fans we are.
Nice.
I went to a game, came home, went back to work Monday, but we got that Cub game in. And
well, I'm glad that's a great story you shared. Thank you very, very much, Mark. Let's go to Dave in Slingler, Wisconsin. David, you're on 670 The Score.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm very sad and heartbroken to hear the loss of Ryan Sandberg. Feel sad to this day that he did not get to the World Series. You know, I thought it began in 84, and then I think he lost in 89.
They lost in the division to San Francisco.
That's right, they did. And I still got the T-shirt from 1990 All-Star Game, and he's on it. You know, the game that was played in Chicago back in 1990?
Yes, I was there. Yes, I was there.
I got the program, and I got the T-shirt and him on it. And I just want to give my sympathy. Very sorry and sad to hear that we lost him.
Well, I appreciate you calling so you can pay tribute to a legend in Chicago. We throw the word legend around a lot. Let me tell you what, Ryan Sandberg was a legend, period. Thank you for the call. Steve from Whiting, Indiana. Steven, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Sports, good to chat. It's a sad night. I've got some good memories of Ryan Sandberg. I ultimately became a Sox fan. But at the time, I liked both sides of town, and I was fortunate to be in the stands at Wrigley in 84, the Ryan Sandberg game. And my memory was I had someplace to be after that game out in Lombard, and I was standing at the stop at the exit, ready to run out of the stadium to the car, and he hit that homer. I couldn't see the ball. I was looking into the sun, but I ran back to my seat because the game was still going. The bottom of the 10th, same thing. I'm at the over by the exit, ready to run out of there, and he hits another one. I couldn't see the ball because the sun was in my eyes, and finally they won it, and just a great memory. And I'm a prostate cancer survivor. Hmm. Didn't have a battle like Ryan did, but you know, I'm blessed to still be alive. And I just want to tell people, they may not be aware, there's a really simple blood test called a PSA test. For generally for men 50 and above, they should get it really as a routine every year, and it catches a lot of prostate cancers. And So I hope that helps some people to be aware of it.
Yes, and I'm glad you made us all aware of that as well. And thank you for the call, and I'm glad you're healthy. Appreciate it. Mark from Bartlett, you're on 670 The Score.
Chuck, thank you so much for doing this. You're giving us all old score heads some grabber vibes doing this tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the story. I was actually, okay, truth be told, because I'm transparent. So I'm in my apartment. I live downtown Chicago. And I'm actually looking at Bulls tape from this past season because, you know, I'm looking at, you know, some things as far as games and whatnot. And I get a call from Mitch Rosen because I had heard that Ryan passed away. And he says, hey, can you fill until midnight? And he said, sure. So here I am. That's a true story.
Thank you, Mitch.
So what are your memories of Sandberg?
Well, my son's in his mid-30s now. And I would bring him to at least a couple games every year for like 20 years. And One day I brought him and my nephew. They were under 10, and we're just walking to our cheap seats in the 200 level way in the back. And I see Rhino walking up the ramp, and I point, like, they didn't know who he was. And I go, that's Ryan Sandberg. And they're like, who? And I wave to Ryan, and he like sees my son and my nephew. And he comes down, and he takes a picture with them. I'm like, I was more excited. They were like, who's this guy? Well, now my son knows who that guy is, and he absolutely loves that picture. And it was such a perfect moment for me at the time, and now my son.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, since we're talking about family, so my oldest, TC at the time, was 2.5 years young. And so I had talked to Ryan about a week before. I said, Ryan, I'm bringing my son to the ballpark. Would you mind if we could get a picture? Now, I never, ever, ever have asked a player for an autograph. And to this day, I never have asked a player for an autograph. But I wanted him to get a picture with Ryan. Ryan, of course, was great. And he said, yes. So this is about an hour and a half before the game. And I bring my 2.5-year-old son in the dugout on the third base side. And my son loved Frank Thomas at the time. Loved him. But we went over pictures. This is Ryan Sandberg. You're going to meet him. So say hello to Ryan. So we get into the dugout. He's sitting next to Ryan Sandberg. And I said, TC, you know who this is, don't you? And he looks at Ryan Sandberg and says, Frank Thomas? That's true. But I'll tell you what, Sandberg played along with it. He was great. He gets a bat. He brings one of his bats out and signs a bat to my son and gives him the bat. Now, the bat is taller than my son at the time. But, I mean, he was, I can't believe I'm talking past tense. But Ryan Sandberg was a total class act, period.
He was.
Thank you for the call. Tyler, do we have time for one more? Can we get one more in? Very quickly, Jake from Louisiana, you're on 670 The Score.
Hello, Chuck. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I had the privilege of watching Cubs games on WGN as a kid in Louisiana, and I love watching him play. In fact, one of my early memories was in grade school. I had a folder with my school supplies. It was a Cubs folder, and one of the players on there was Ryan Sandberg.
Hmm.
And it's a shame I never got to meet him. I've been a Cub fan most of my life. I never got the chance to go to Chicago. Hopefully I will one day. But the world lost a great player, a great human being, and I think there's a special place in heaven right now for Ryan Sandberg. And I want to say thank you for the memories, Rhino, and just we love you, and you'll always be a Cub in our heart. Thank you.
Yes. Well, and thank you for the call. I mean, we are so grateful that we had his presence in Chicago on the field, off the field, what he did in his post-Philadelphia career as manager. And he comes back to Chicago with the Ricketts family, bringing him back. He was an ambassador, and he was all around the city. He was so good with people. And these were great, great memories tonight. I want to thank our listeners for taking the time, number one, to call and then sharing from their heart. And again, we'll have plenty of coverage tomorrow morning right here on 670 The Score about Ryan Sandberg and what he meant to the Cubs, what he meant to the fans, and what he meant to Major League Baseball. Just a wonderful, wonderful human being who, by the way, happened to be a baseball player and a really good one in the Hall of Fame. Tyler Farringold, thank you. Sean Sears, this is Chuck Swirsky. Always a pleasure. And again, more coming up Mullenhall and throughout the day right here on 670 The Score. And yes, we will get into the Brewers game. We'll get into the trade deadline. We got a lot of things going on, but the number one story in Chicago, the passing of a true legend in Ryan Sandberg. Always a pleasure. This Chuck Swirsky. We'll have more coming up in just a few minutes on the national level right here on 670 The Score.